I'll go ahead and mention now so I won't forget later. I do go in tomorrow to see my for my post-op and get a couple stents about that long taken out of each side of my nose. At least they feel like they're that long. I'm sure they're not. And so looking forward to getting that behind me come tomorrow morning. Ivy, have a seat, sweetheart. Got these four lovely granddaughters with us tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessings. Tonight, if you'll also take a few songs, take a few prayer requests tonight and continue with our study tonight. And don't take me too serious tonight in our study time. I am serious, but I mean I'm not. Just because I'm presenting something and saying something, if it applies to you, swallow hard. If it doesn't, move on. Because sometimes we are not feeling well. Sometimes we get a little bit older and can't get out like we used to. I'm not referring to those, but I'm referring to those who don't have a medical excuse. I don't have a legitimate excuse and not on vacation. And by the way, I'll say this and I'll pray. I still go to church when I'm on vacation. I think you should too. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness to us, your blessings upon us. Thank you for the joy of service and joy of fellowship. Thank you for another beautiful day that you've given us. I pray that you meet with us tonight. You'd encourage us. Lord, help us to lift our hearts and voices in song tonight as we worship you through our song service. And Lord, as we spend some time together in prayer for one another. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, Lord, we pray now that you'd bless the reading of your word and our time together in scripture. Lord, I know there'll be a little seriousness, a little humor involved tonight in our teaching, Lord, but help us all to self-evaluate, take heed, and Lord, and apply some things that'll be a help and a blessing to us as we continue to serve you, and Lord, and give our life while we can until you return or you take us home as we serve others and serve you. We ask these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. All right, well, kind of pick up. We left off 2 weeks ago and kind of gave you a little bit of a mention of what we're going to do tonight, and I'll pick up there. How will you meet the king? And we've talked about several different characters, and we talked about Ziba and Shema, Shimei, and then we talked about Brasilia last time. We talked about how we meet the king. Some will be worried, some will be waiting, some will be working, and I think that's where we left off yet there toward the end, in reference to Brasilia in 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 30 through 40. I won't take the time to read that passage tonight. We'll have several others to read tonight. We'll go right into the lesson. We stopped off last time 2 weeks ago. I made the comment, there are a lot of Christians who are AWOL today. The military acronym, absent while on leave. They need to be here. They should be here. We should be involved. And I know there's some things that we cannot do physically as we age and get older or in sickness, but we can do what we can while we can. There's folks that have been saved, but they just can seem to refuse to serve the Lord with faithfulness. And as a pastor, you know, that really discourages me in seeing people making a profession, saying they're saved, and yet you see no fruit. You don't want to judge, but you have a concern as a shepherd. You know, I want to see fruit. They say they've saved, they made a profession, but I don't see any evidence of them being saved. They are afflicted with, many people like that are afflicted with the Bible terms calls divers diseases. And we read this passage of scripture. We'll read it again tonight. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24. Having an opportunity of pastoring several churches while we were helping churches, but pastoring on the East Coast, pastoring both in the South and in the Northeast, pastoring with the military overseas, where I had families in the church that were from all across the U.S. and even other parts of the world, foreign countries that were part of the military, and see a lot of different things. But Matthew chapter 4 and verse 24 refers to divers diseases. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought into him sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were a lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. So we're going to, a little tongue-in-cheek, a little humor, but also a little seriousness in it. We're going to look at some of these afflictions. Number one, Sundayitis. Sundayitis, also known as Morbus Sabbaticus. And I've left a little bit of space on some of them if you want to make a little notes, but I left a few blanks as well. This is a baffling condition that produces symptoms that are only seen on Sunday. It produces acute laziness in the person afflicted. It causes them to sleep in, or they can make them spend the day in the mountains or at the lake. This strange disease never seems to affect singings or fellowships that involves food. It seems to be only the services where the word of God is preached and taught. Symptoms are usually from 9 a.m. to 11 on the West Coast and 9 to 12 on the East Coast. During the afternoon, the sufferer feels better until about 4 or 5 o'clock, and then the symptoms return. The patient is almost always better by Monday morning, allowing them to turn to work, but sadly, usually sufferers have a relapse on Wednesday that keeps them away from prayer meeting. Number two, not only Sundayitis, we have black tongue. Black tongue, characterized by idle gossip. This disease usually ties the tongue securely in the middle, leaving both ends loose. This affliction makes the sufferer very disagreeable because they usually don't have a kind word to say about anybody. Number three, spiritual paralysis. This sad condition doesn't affect any other activities except the Lord's work. People can hunt, fish, go on vacation. They usually look well and can attend church with little problems. The only symptom is inactivity. This disease usually causes the afflicted to refuse all jobs in the church. The most common phrase heard from those afflicted with spiritual paralysis is, get someone else. Number four, not only Sundayitis, black tongue, spiritual paralysis, but sore eyes. This disease causes the sufferer to be on the constant lookout for something wrong. This affliction causes the one affected by it to see only the bad in every person and situation they encounter. This disease usually accompanies black tongue. Sadly, I have seen some of these conditions in churches through the years. Number five, spiritual indigestion. Causes upset stomachs and produces a lot of gas. This disease is almost always triggered by the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The sufferers have a strong desire for spiritual milk. When they are fed strong meat, the symptoms usually return. Sundayitis, black tongue, spiritual paralysis, sore eyes, spiritual indigestion, and then number six, spiritual malnutrition. The sufferer is unusually weak in the faith and cannot seem to develop a consistent walk with God. No, I'm just going to pause for a moment before I go on. There's no reason for a Christian that's been saved for a year to be weak in the faith. There should be some growth. In fact, there should be some growth almost immediately after salvation, because the Holy Spirit begins to work and say no to things that we used to do or say, or tells us things that we need to stop doing and start doing other things. It's just a gradual process. And again, different folks at different paces, but there should be some spiritual growth. Spiritual malnutrition. This disease is caused by a lack of Bible study and overindulgence in worldly pleasures. We need to be very careful and understand. I'm going to try to apply something here. Sunday and Wednesday is not the only time we should pull up to the table to be fed spiritually. We should open our Bibles at home. We should spend some time in prayer, be around some other Christian fellowship. I mean, when I'm out and about, I promise you one thing. I don't have to be at home to eat. I have no problem eating at your house, my house, or someone else's house. In fact, sometimes I have no problem if I knock on a stranger's door and they're eating and invite me. I've been known to pull up to the table and eat with them. But we should also have the same appetite spiritually and being prepared and ready to eat, to be fed, to encourage and to feed others. Number seven, spiritual malnutrition, spiritual bruises. This causes extreme soreness in the area of bruising. When the preacher preaches on faithfulness, tithing, obedience, surrender, this disease becomes easy to diagnose. This is the easiest of the spiritual diseases to detect because a patient will yell when the sore spot is touched, and they usually don't yell amen. Number eight, cirrhosis of the giver. Cirrhosis of the giver. This is all too common affliction, produces severe tenderness in the area immediately around the wallet and checkbook. It causes the sufferer to feel compelled to give as little as possible to the Lord and to his kingdom work. There are some that are afflicted with one or more of these diseases that I've mentioned tonight. My question for you is this: will you be found working when Jesus returns? Will you be found waiting? Will you be found working? Will you be found worried, as we talked about, when you meet the King? Brasilia, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, we left off at, was faithful to David, and he kept living, giving, and working until the King returned. In 2 Samuel 19 and verse 31, and Brasilia the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king and conduct him over Jordan. And Brasilia was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And we went back and looked at other places in 1 Samuel with him a couple weeks ago and talked about his desire to prepare and to give to the Lord's work and be involved in the Lord's work. And we asked that question again: how will you meet the King? Can the same be said about our life? Prepared and ready to meet the King? Are we too tied up with divers diseases? Things that keep us, or excuses that keep us from being involved. See, faithful should be said about every child of God. Think about it for a moment. If someone was to describe you as a believer, wouldn't you want one of those adjectives to be faithful? Faithful. A person, a man, a woman of prayer, dedicated unto the Lord and to the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Thank God there are some who are still working. I'm encouraged when I see people witnessing and talking to others. I'm encouraged in a restaurant when I see a big family sit down with a bunch of youngins or just a few, and they tell the kids to call. Hold on, wait, quiet down, let's pray. Our food is here before we eat. It encourages me to see those things. It encourages me to see people sit down and open their Bible and read in public and take an opportunity to be a witness for the Lord. See, they love the Lord and are still in his vineyard laboring for the master. We don't want to be those, as we looked at a few moments ago in describing those in Matthew 4:24, with divers diseases and torments, spiritually speaking. Yeah, excuses can be made, but sometimes it's a whole lot easier to find out what you can do to help than to try to find a reason to get out of it. May I remind you of those who have decided to remain faithful to the Lord, that he will bless your faithfulness. He will bless our faithfulness to him. The day will come when he will receive you into his blessed presence and reward you, reward us openly. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 23. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Don't give up the fight. Keep doing what you are doing. Do what you can while you can. And as I mentioned before, and as men, we've talked on some of our Tuesday Bible studies with some of our young believers, they don't know what they don't know until they know. And it's up to us to encourage, to set the example, and to encourage them and live a godly example before them. Don't give up the fight again. Stand your ground for Jesus. And if anyone falls around you, if others leave the battlefield, you just keep fighting for the glory of God. Those who stand will receive the victory. I'm still young. I'll be 62 in November. Lord willing, he'll give me still years of service and ministry to be involved. But I know a day will come if the Lord tarries to return. I may not have the health to do what I'm doing today, but I hope I still have the health and strength to try to be a witness when I can, where I can, to who I can, as the Lord gives me opportunity. 2 Samuel chapter 23, in verse 11 and 12, says, and after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop. And these are one of the mighty men that David referred to before they were misfits back in 1 Samuel. It says, there was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And in verse 12, but he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. No, we never know until we're in a position when the Lord gives us an opportunity to stand for what is right, not to cower down, not to back away, not to give up the fight. I know we all get tired, we all get wearied, but that's what 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night is for, to lay down, recharge, get up, and to go again. I just keep on doing what you can while you can. Will you be found working when the King comes? We looked at some will be worried, some will be waiting, some will be working, and then the fourth and final point, some will be without. Some will be without. Chapter 20 of 2 Samuel, verse 1. And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bechri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, can you imagine this? In the crowd blowing a trumpet, we have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel. Now we live in a land today where a lot of people are pretty much blowing their trumpet and saying there is no God, there is no leader. And basically that's very similar to what this general Sheba is doing here in reference to the king of Israel. It doesn't matter if they blow that trumpet and they sound out and they deny God. It should not change who we are, how we feel. It may, if anything, it should give us a little bit of empathy for that person who's not understanding the reality that there is a God. And one day their knee will bow, their tongue will confess. And it should challenge us, encourage us to continue to go on. Here we see there was one other fellow, as I mentioned from reading this passage, that met David when he came back. And again, his name was Sheba. And if we looked here in verse 1, he was the son of Belial. This phrase refers to a person who is a rebel or a wicked man. Sheba had one thing on his mind, and that was overthrowing the king. He wanted to see David ousted from the throne. He hated David, and he tried to lead Israel in a rebellion against King David. In response, David's generals went after Sheba, and he was finally killed a little later in this chapter in verse number 22. But this man, Sheba, represents those who are enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, yes, we are living in a day where the Lord still has enemies. There are still enemies to the Christian, but it should not change the way we live. It should not change the way we pray for them and encourage them in doing our part. We should not allow the sense of those around us, whether they be saved, this is referring to the unsaved, but whether they be saved or unsaved, or what they do or what they do not do. I can remember playing ball growing up, and I can remember at times playing different positions, but I remember at one time playing third base and having some drills, and always made me nervous when there was a close game, we had a man on third base, are they going to try to pull off a squeeze play to get that runner in and making sure that I do my job. And there was times at a third baseman that my job was to stay put, even if they squared the bunt, that the pitcher had the third base side, the first base had the first base side, and the second baseman would cover second base. And I had to remember, according to the play and what was set up and how many outs, that I had to stay at home no matter what anyone else did, no matter what the runners did, no matter if the shortstop moved to second base to do its part, whether the pitcher charged the sideline for the bunt or not, I had to stay in my place. And we must remember as believers, it doesn't matter what other Christians around us are doing. Doesn't matter what the world is doing. We need to make sure that we're not only in our lane, but doing what God expects us to do. Don't allow what's going on around us to discourage us. As I mentioned with our men these past couple Tuesday nights, I'm excited about the potential for revival. I'm excited about some changes and things that are taking place. And as I've mentioned on several occasions, that once again, the Bible is becoming the number one selling book. And not only that, some statistics, and this isn't from Pew Research, where I usually get some of my statistics, but from some other, with them and some others, that they've been talking about a lot of things going on, changes taking place in our country, and there's two common denominators that were running parallel. And that was young men between the ages of 19 and 29 years old are becoming more conservative, turned out and voted for President Trump, and are starting to come back to church. Those are the ones that are filling the pews and coming in. Some of them do not even know what they're looking for, but they know there's something better than what they're living right now. And they're seeking the truth. What a prime opportunity we have to see some of these young men who want to be back in the church, who want to be involved and are seeking the truth. I was encouraged this past Sunday. We had six young couples in our auditorium. I was encouraged and hope to see more of them. Some of them have been repeat and continuing to visit and working with some of them. They've got questions. They're seeking some truths and some answers, and some are just trying to find their way back to where they know they should be because they drifted away. We need to make sure that we're prepared as believers and remind ourselves, how will I meet the King? If I know that I'm saved, then how am I going to meet him spiritually? Am I doing all that I can? Am I doing what the Lord has asked me to do? How will you meet the King? If Jesus came today, and he could, would you be worried? Would you be waiting? Would you be working? Or would you be without? Like it or not, Jesus is coming again, and when he does, he will find you in one of those four situations. We'll be worried, we'll be waiting, we'll be working, or we'll be without. What will it be for you? Right now is a moment of decision. Right now is the time to come to the Lord and make things right with him, whether it be in salvation for those who need to come to the Lord, or whether it be sure that I am in obedience unto the Lord, doing what he's asked me to do. Will you do what you need to do that when King Jesus comes, that you will be able to meet him without fear? Keep short accounts. Lord, show me areas that need to be improved. Lord, show me what I need to do. I read a book, as I mentioned before, some time ago. I enjoy reading biographies and autobiographies. And the book was called The Broad Brim. And it was about Mr. D.L. Moody. And I wish more Christians, including myself, could make this type of commitment. He had made a commitment to the Lord that he would not lay his head down and go to sleep without at least witnessing to one person before the day was ended. Now, I'm not asking you to make that commitment. I'm asking you to think about the commitment was made in the seriousness of upholding the commitments that we make, especially if the Lord moves us to do that. And in this biography, it talks about Mr. Moody having a particular busy day that day. He got up at like 3 in the morning because he had so much to do. He knew he'd never get it done, so he needed to get up early to start and have time with prayer before his day started. The day went by, meeting after meeting, some of the orphanages, other things he has care for, the church and all that was going on. He was so tied up. He got to bed that night, lay down, tossed and turned, and could not sleep. And he realized, I did not talk to anyone today. God's not going to let me sleep. He got out of bed, got dressed, and went to the door, and it was raining. He thought, Lord, I know I promised you that I would not go to sleep, and you're not letting me go to sleep. Lord, who's going to be out in this type of weather at 2 o'clock in the morning? 1 o'clock in the morning, I can't remember what time it was. He got his coat, he got his umbrella, walked off his porch, looked both ways down the street, and then it's off at a distance, he saw someone walking their dog. Mr. Moody went over, and he witnessed to that person. He didn't say whether the person came to church. He didn't say whether they got saved, but he did say this: I obeyed the Lord, got home, took off my coat, got back in bed, and went right off to sleep. Boy, how would we would just be committed to do what we promised God that we would do. That we would do what we felt God had pressed upon us to do. Because one day, we will meet the King, and we will give account of those things which he's asked us to do, asked us not to do, asked us to start to do, and whatever it may be, are we prepared? Will we be worried? Will we be working? Will we be without? How will we meet the King? Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and again, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your goodness to us and your blessings upon us, and I pray that you'd help us, Lord, not just tonight, but Lord, make a point to self-evaluate on the monthly or quarterly time of the year and asking and doing a self-evaluation. How am I doing? Am I keeping the promises I made to my Lord? Am I doing the things I know the Lord would have me to do? Am I being a good child of God? Father, help us to make the kind of commitments, follow up on them, and do all that we can as we strive to serve one another, as we serve you, as we strive to serve you by reaching others. And then, Father, help us to be prepared to meet you. But most of all, Father, help us to be obedient. And Father, help us to continue to pray for one another. And Father, may you send and bring revival to our church, to our community, that others may come know the Lord, that we may see, Lord, not for the reason that we would love to see our church continue to grow, but Father, we want to see souls saved from the grips of hell. Father, help us to do our part in reaching these young couples, developing them, encouraging them, and reaching more that they may know the Lord. Now, Father, again, dismiss us with your love tonight and help us again to ask, how will I meet the King? We ask these things again in the wonderful name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. All right, as always, God loves you. His preacher loves you. If I can be helped you in any way, please don't hesitate to ask. Please do your part and invite someone, encourage someone to join. We always have church invitation cards there in the foyer to give and invite people to church. God bless you. You're dismissed.